Luke chapter 17. It is so good to see everyone here tonight. It's great to have so many guests with us tonight. And we are celebrating Thanksgiving. The last few weeks we've been spending some time learning from Luke chapter 17. And this account, you might remember, where Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem as he was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He came into a certain village. There were 10 lepers, and they cried from afar to the Lord Jesus to have mercy on us. And Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest. And the Bible says that as they went, they were healed. When they heard the Lord Jesus and they were obedient to his commandment, he brought healing to them, and they were instantaneously cleansed. Now, they had hoped to go to the priest and show themselves and begin the process, the Levitical process of being cleansed and purification. That's what they were hoping for. They would go to the priest. He would look at their lesions. He would look at that and say, hey, that looks like it's getting better. They would be shut up for a week and then be examined again, and it would be a long, drawn-out process. But Jesus Christ miraculously and immediately and unconditionally healed them. And when they saw that, one of them saw that he was healed, he turned back and glorified God. And we've been learning some things about that. And it's so important for us to learn about Thanksgiving. It's this time of year. But friends, I hope that the things that we glean from the Word of God about Thanksgiving doesn't end this week. That we're thankful this week and next week and next month and next year and every day that God gives us on this planet, that we would be thankful. Because sometimes we don't get it. I told you that I like comics. That's the best part of the newspaper. How many of you still take a newspaper, by the way? No, put your hands up. I really would like to see. How many of you get your news online? How many of you don't watch the news at all? All right, there we go. Right? Because the news is depressing, right? It's always discouraging. Those of you that read the news online or on paper, how many of you believe what you read in the news? Okay, but you read it continually. Now, how many of you believe everything you read in your Bible? Oh, do I get to ask the next question? How many of you read it every day? Yeah, see, that's good, isn't it? So many times people in America are reading what they don't believe every day, and they don't read what they do believe, right? It's kind of messed up. But I love the comics, and Family Circus is my favorite. I can identify with Billy. You guys have all seen that, like mom tells him to go next door to borrow some sugar, and it shows a track of where he went, like all over the neighborhood and out in the woods and everywhere, just to go next door. That's the way I was as a kid. That's the way my boys are now. They can get lost from the living room to their bedroom, because that's the way boys are, right? Some of us still haven't grown out of that yet. Where was I going with this? No, just kidding. Little Billy said Thanksgiving should come after Christmas. Then we'd have more things to be thankful for, right? And that's kind of the way we are sometimes. We forget about what we have to be thankful for. And I want to remind you that every day we have much to give thanks for. And if you are born again, if you've repented and trusted Christ as your Savior, you have much to be thankful for forever. And so that's what we want to, this life is not it. We need to remember, like the song said, we need to remember that this isn't home. We have a home in heaven, a city that's made without hands. And so we have so much to be thankful for. It's hard for us sometimes. I know some of you live in homes where home-cooked meals are a rare thing. It doesn't happen. And so maybe you don't have a lot of hope. You might be like the little boy that was set down to dinner, and he was asked to pray and give thanks for the dinner. And he stopped for a minute and just kind of looked at his plate. And then he bowed his head and he prayed, Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I'll thank you and eat it anyway. I hope that's not the way it is for you this week. I hope that you can be excited about the fellowship and the food and all the things that we have. But I want to invite you to look at Luke chapter 17, and I want you to see this in verse 14. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read Luke 17, verse 14. Stand to honor God's word together today. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the healing that you give through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl here tonight who's never been born again, that tonight you would convict their heart through the Word of God and by your Spirit, Lord, that you would draw them unto yourself, that they would repent of their sin and unbelief, turn away from their sin to you. And Father, tonight they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They would trust in you with all their heart, in your death on the cross, your resurrection from the grave, and that through repentance and faith they would call on your name and receive the gift of everlasting life. And for all who are saved tonight, remind us, Lord, of the healing that you have given us. Help us to give thanks today and every day until you take us home, that we can give you thanks for eternity. Please bless our time in your word now. Help me, for I'm nothing without you, and may your will be done in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've spent a little time talking about this passage already over the last few weeks. And Sunday morning, we really focused in on just this phrase. Look at verse 15. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back." And we focused on that, the fact that when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. And you and I, if you've been born again, we need to remember every day. And I told you, I've got it in my mind that this man, when he was healed of his leprosy, that when Jesus cleanses, he cleanses all the way. And I believe that his flesh came again as a little child, and he was healed completely. That the disease that was from the inside out consuming him and bringing certain death was taken completely away. And I just got an idea that he didn't just praise God that day, but the next morning he woke up and he looked at his hands and he felt his face and he was just amazed that Jesus had healed him, and he praised God again, and the next day and the next day and the next day. And I've got an idea that this man never forgot the day he cried out to Jesus and asked Jesus for mercy and was given his grace that day. I don't think he ever forgot. And friends, you and I who have been born again, we ought not ever go a day without remembering what Christ has done for us. I mean, when you come to consciousness in the morning, it ought to be the first thing to say, "Father, thank you for giving me eternal life. Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. Praise you, Lord, that you've saved me." And it ought to be in every moment of everyday thing. Because I'm going to tell you, friends, that things aren't always good in this life. And there are trials, and there are difficulties, and there are storms, and there are tribulations that we must go through. But on the other side of that is life everlasting. And I am persuaded that the sufferings of this time are not to be compared with the glory that he has for those who have been saved by his amazing grace. There's nothing that can be compared to what he has in store for us. So we ought to see, and we ought to turn back. It ought to be the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, praise to his name continually. It ought to be every moment of everyday thing. We just keep turning back and keep turning back and keep turning back, coming back to the feet of Jesus to give him thanks. But I want you to look at what happened next tonight. Notice this with me. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back." And the Bible says, "with a loud voice glorified God." He, with a loud voice, he glorified God. I want you to know, friends, this was a passionate reaction. I think it was just it wasn't a planned response. It was just the natural reaction to what had happened. I mean, he looked down at his hands and saw God had healed him. Jesus had healed him, and he couldn't do anything but shout out and give glory to God. And we don't know what he said, but I got an idea that he said, "Glory to God." And he didn't care what anybody around said, thought about it. He didn't care what anybody saw or if anybody looked at him. And you can imagine, just like today, if you were walking through town and all of a sudden you hear somebody across the road yell, "Glory to God!" You'd kind of look and think, "What's wrong with them?" Right?
But I'm going to tell you, this man wasn't concerned about what everybody else thought. He wasn't concerned about what anybody else perceived, because in that moment it was just a natural reaction. It was a passionate response to what the Lord had done. With a loud voice, people get loud today for a lot of different reasons. Now, some of you aren't this way. Some of you are very quiet and very shy and you never get loud. Others of you are just loud all the time. And some of you are normal like me, and it's only at appropriate times, right? Sometimes I get loud when I'm preaching. Most of the time, it's just a natural response. Sometimes I'm just trying to wake somebody up. Sometimes I get loud at home. After about the third time I've said something to my child and they haven't heard me, sometimes I have to raise my voice. And then it hurts their feelings, it breaks their heart because I'm yelling at them. And we have a discussion about if you could listen the first three times, I wouldn't have to be so loud the fourth time. Amen. That's preaching, people. Pay attention. Sometimes husbands and wives, with a loud voice, have discussions. Now, you guys can sit back there and pretend like that doesn't happen at your house if you want to. Sometimes I'm hard-headed, like my kids, and my wife has to get loud with me. I'm just kidding. I just to be honest with you, because she's not in here to defend herself, my wife almost never gets loud with me. It's when she gets quiet that it's really dangerous. Amen. I've confessed to you before that I really enjoy football games, and we like to go to the Viam Wolverines football games because, no offense, you know, I love Muldrow, but the football games aren't always worth going to. It's getting better, though. There's hope. We got a bright future coming up. Where are these kids? Where are they at? They're not even in here. Shame on them. We've got a bright future coming. There's hope for the future, but I like going to the football games. I like to get loud. Some of you know that. I told you before that some of our church members have moved to the other side of the stands from one ball game to the next so they didn't have to sit next to me. Isn't that terrible? Because I get too loud and I'm embarrassing. But listen, football games are a place where you need to get loud, right? Especially when the Sooners aren't playing right. The defense is awful. See, I told you I was preaching. There's a lot of reasons that we get loud today. There's a lot of good reasons to get loud. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but sometimes when your children are young and they don't listen, they get away from you in the parking lot and they're about to get run over, you get loud to warn them of the danger. And so we can get loud when we're happy. We can get loud when we're scared. We get loud when we're angry. We can look in the scriptures and see a lot of times when there was a loud voice that was used. In Luke 1:42, she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Listen, when Elizabeth was visited by Mary, she rejoiced with a loud voice. The Spirit of God was there. But it's not just good reasons and good people that use a loud voice. In Mark 5:7, a demon cries with a loud voice and says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." See, it wasn't just spirit-filled people. Demon-possessed people got loud sometimes too. Luke chapter 19, verses 36 through 38. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The disciples, when Jesus came, they rejoiced. They praised God with a loud voice. I want you to know it was a scene that day when Jesus came to town. And the disciples weren't worried about what anybody thought. They were rejoicing in Christ their Savior. The disciples weren't the only ones to use a loud voice in Luke 23:18-24. They cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And so we see over and over and over again in Scripture that there were these loud voices used to rejoice in Christ and to cry out against Christ. And both sides are crying out. But I want to tell you the most important loud voice in all of Scripture. You can read about it in many places, but one account is Mark 15. Mark 15, verses 34 through 37. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in verse 37, Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. I want you to see this. We have reason to lift up our voices to glorify God because He lifted up His voice when He gave up His life on the cross. He said, "Father, into Thy hand I commend my spirit." And He gave up the ghost and He cried with a loud voice. And friends, when this man came back to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw he was healed, he turned back to Him and he cried with a loud voice and he glorified God. It was a natural response. It was an unashamed response. And friends, we should not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Why? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "Because for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've experienced the power of the gospel and you shouldn't be ashamed. I'm a little perplexed because right here in the church sometimes some of you are scared to even sing loudly because you're afraid of what somebody in the church might think. How are you ever going to glorify God out there if you can't do it in here? I like to sing. I like to sing loud. And I don't even know if I sound good or not. That's the truth. I have no idea. I've asked my wife before a few times if I sounded okay when I sang, and I never got a straight answer, Brother Brian. I don't really know. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. Do you know why? Because I'm not singing for her. Now I'm singing for you. I'm singing for Him. I'm singing for His glory. And I want to lift up my voice in praise. And it's a beautiful thing when God's people stop worrying about what their neighbor thinks and start worrying about what God has done in their heart. And then you don't care. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, when you have seen what He has done for you, you will lift up your voice and praise to God. Hey, some of you need this. I know, because I sit right there and watch you not sing. I do, and it bothers me. It bothers me. We get so distracted, we get so messed up that we're so worried about other things. Friends, we have a sweet opportunity when we come together to glorify God. But it's not just here. The only reason I'm talking about singing in church is because if you can't glorify Him here, how are you ever going to do it out there? If you're ashamed of Him here, you will be ashamed of Him out there. And out there are multitudes of people who desperately need to see someone who's been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't just need a gospel track, friends. They need to see a changed life. They don't need just a gospel presentation. They need that. They need somebody, but they need somebody to speak from the heart of one who has been healed by Jesus. You remember when Jesus came across the sea to Gadara? You remember how the maniac was there in the tombs and he was cutting himself and they would chain that guy up and he would break the chains and they couldn't do anything with them until Jesus came to town. Do you remember that? You remember how when Jesus dealt with the man, he cast the demons out. They went into the swine and ran off the cliff and died in the sea. We remember all that, but remember this. When the villagers came because they heard what happened, they saw the maniac sitting and clothed and in his right mind. I mean, he met Jesus and he was changed. And when Jesus got ready to leave, because the people of that town ran Jesus off, the man pleaded with the Lord. He begged Jesus, "Can I go with you?" And he said, "No, I want you to go and tell everybody what God has done for you. Go tell everybody the great things that God has done." And I want you to know, friends, that that man, he spoke from a heart that had been changed, from a life that had been changed. And he had a greatly effective ministry, I can assure you. If you would remember your condition before you were saved, you would be a better witness now. Wouldn't be hard for the leper, would it? Wouldn't be hard for the leper, because in one step, you get that, right? As they went, you got to understand that. When his right foot or his left foot, one of his feet left the ground, before it hit the ground again, he was healed. It happened like that. I mean, in one step, he was a leper on his way to death. He was dying piecemeal, falling apart, dying from the inside out. And at the next step, he was healed. He was made whole by Jesus Christ. And friends, the same thing happened to you. It might have been at an altar at church. It might have been at the foot of your bed at home. It might have been in the church van on the way home. It might have been anywhere, anytime. I don't know. But if you repented and trusted Christ, in an instant, you were changed. In an instant, you were made whole. In an instant, you were healed. And we need to see and remember what he's done, and it ought to bring about a passionate reaction that with a loud voice we would glorify God. It's a purposeful response. It's with a loud voice. It's passionate, but it's purposeful. With a loud voice, he didn't just cry out anything. He glorified God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He glorified God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Unto him be glory. We want to glorify God the Father through the grace and mercy of his Son. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Peter goes on and admonishes those in the churches to not suffer as an evildoer, but suffer for the cause of Christ. Now listen, I know it's Thanksgiving and we've got a lot to be thankful for. Most of you are going to get together with your family. You're going to have a big meal. You're going to eat too much. Right? I don't know if you can go ahead and repent about that ahead of time or not. I don't think that works. I think that's the other church where you can pay for it ahead of time. I don't think that's here. We've got so much to be thankful for, and so many times we think about Thanksgiving. We think about those things. I've got my family. I've got a roof over my head. I've got clothes to wear. I was able to get here tonight. I've got transportation, and we think about our freedom, and we focus on all these positive things, and that's a good thing, because what Peter's talking about is so foreign to us. He's talking about people who are suffering real persecution because of their faith for Christ, and he says, rejoice in your sufferings. Now, most of us are never going to get close to that kind of suffering. I mean, about the closest any of us are going to get, we're going to knock on somebody's door, and we're going to take our gospel tracker and say, "Hi, my name's Isaac. I'm from Calvary." And when they hear church, they're going to slam the door in your face. It's about as bad as it's going to get for most of us. I had one fella take my track. He saw it said church, and he threw it back at me and said, "Get your religion on out of here." You know, that's about as bad as it gets for us. I might have got a paper cut. But there are men and women and boys and girls who are truly suffering for the cause of Christ today. There are people who are put in prison. There are people who are beaten. There are people whose homes are burned down. There are people who are shot and killed and tortured, and things that you can't even begin to imagine are happening. Not in the Dark Ages, not in the Middle Ages. I'm talking about right now, today. In China, they're burning Bibles by the thousands. In Iran and other places like that, people are being murdered. I'm telling you that people are truly suffering for Christ. And here's the amazing thing about those faithful martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read about their stories today and you watch their videos today and you see the testimony of men who have been shot in the face because they wouldn't renounce Christ, they rejoice in their sufferings for Christ. They truly rejoice, and with joy they're thankful that they've been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And you and I, we can't rejoice because the temperature's not right. We can't rejoice because we had a flat tire on the way to work. We can't rejoice because we thought it was going to be sunny and it rained. I mean, the biggest complaints we have are the weatherman can't get it right. Well, guess what? He hadn't got it right in 30 years. He's not going to start now. It's not a reason for us to grumble and complain and gripe and murmur. And we're guilty. I have a hard time reading these verses. I have a hard time taking these verses and applying them to my life and to your life. I know they apply because they're in the Word of God, and I know there's truths we can glean from them, but friends, to really get what he's talking about, we are so far away from that. But I will say this. We always want to focus on the good things. But God is good even when your circumstances aren't. You may not be suffering for the cause of Christ. You may not be suffering today because you showed up to church, you read your Bible, you had your Christian t-shirt on or anything like that. You may not suffer because you tried to witness to your friend or you preached the gospel to your neighbor. You may not suffer for those reasons, but many of you are suffering. There's cancer. And there's divorce. And there's death. Sin and sorrow and suffering and death are real in our lives today. And I don't know why suffering's coming to your family. I don't know why the trials and tribulations are coming. It may be your own fault. Let's get it. Most of the time when trials and troubles come to my life, most of the time my suffering is my own fault. Because I have not followed the Word of God and God's principles, and I'm suffering the consequences for my stupidity. Sometimes suffering comes as a result of our own personal sin. Sometimes suffering comes because of someone else's sin. And if you think your sin doesn't affect other people, you're dead wrong. But ultimately, all suffering comes from sin. And it may not be your personal sin. It may not be someone in your family's direct sin. It may just be that we live in a sin-cursed world. And bad things happen to everybody. But God is good even when your circumstances aren't. Some of you can only give thanks when everything's just right. Sometimes we get in a way that if everything's not just the way I need it to be, want it to be, think it ought to be, if it doesn't meet my ideal expectations, I'm not going to truly be thankful. I may even say the words, but I'm not truly thankful. And I'm here to tell you today, dear friend, that we ought to give thanks to God no matter what our circumstances are. It was a passionate reaction with a loud voice. He was He was unashamed. It was just a natural response to what the Lord had done. And it was a purposeful response. His purpose was to glorify God. Listen, he lifted up his voice to glorify God. He fell on his face to glorify God. He did it all for the glory of God. And friends, that's what we ought to do everything for. For his glory. I want to look at one more passage of scripture with you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And this kind of wraps it all up. Because of what Christ has done for us, we should not be ashamed, but we should loudly glorify God. Not to be a show, not to be a spectacle, but out of a true heart of gratefulness, we ought to glorify him. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul said, I'm saved, but it's not me. It's his purpose. It's his grace. It's what he has done. And because of what he has done, I'm not ashamed of him. And you shouldn't be ashamed of him either. He said that I am appointed an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, and I suffer these things. We know that Paul suffered beyond ways that we could ever understand. How he was beaten, how he was scourged, how he was shipwrecked, how he was put in prison, he was stoned and left for dead. All of the things that Paul went through. He said, I suffer these things for the cause of the gospel. But he said, I am not ashamed because I know whom I believe. I am persuaded, I am assured that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Friends, I don't know what circumstances you have going on in your life. But there is a God in heaven who gave his only son so that you could have life. And if he has given you the free gift of eternal life by faith in his son, then you have every reason to be thankful. And you have never, never have a reason to be unthankful. I want to tell you today, we ought to give thanks to God. We live in a world today where people, the politically correct insanity is driving me nuts. We live in this environment where people have to be so careful not to offend anyone. A fourth grader gave a report on the origins of the Thanksgiving holiday. They said, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you-know-what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you-know-who. Because of them, we can worship each Sunday, you know where. And that's about where we're at in America today. And there are a lot of Christians who would try to hide their faith, who would try to not say the name of God, or they might be brave enough to say God, but they would never say the name of Jesus. And they might say that you ought to believe in God, but they would never warn someone of the judgment to come. They would never talk to them about their sin and their need for repentance. And they would never talk about Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. And there are many people who claim Christ privately, but would never proclaim him openly. And I just want to tell you tonight that we ought to glorify God with a loud voice. I'm trying to tell you today that if you're part of this church, Mulder, Oklahoma ought to know that there's a God in heaven and there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought to boldly proclaim and glorify his name every day of our lives. Let's get ready for an invitation. Will you stand with me, please? Tonight, as you look in your heart, I hope you understand salvation is available to each and every human being because Christ died for all. And if you would repent of your sin and unbelief, if you would trust in Christ alone, he will give you everlasting life. You just simply have to let go of your pride and humble yourself before the Lord. If you need to be born again, I plead with you to come and trust him tonight. If you've been saved but you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, friend, you need to follow Jesus in baptism. You need to publicly identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection and show that you're going to walk in newness of life with Christ. If he's convicting your heart about anything tonight, I plead with you to come right now while we sing.